Makeup artist and influencer Desi Perkins has a little bit of a golden touch. In 2016, she had a collab with a major sunglass company.
So they offered me this deal and they said, it'll just be a quick little 3-month collaboration. You'll have about 4 sunglasses. It'll be great.
While this was originally intended to be a collaboration between Desi and the sunglass company, Desi was way more hands-on.
I showed up to the first meeting with them and they laid out a bunch of sunglasses on the table. They said, is there anything that you like here that you can pick? We can put your name on it, market it, whatever. I said, I would really love to design my own sunglasses if that's a possibility.
So when it came time to renegotiate their contract, Desi wanted to be recognized as more than a collaborator. She was designing, marketing, and successfully selling. She asked for a contract that reflected her work.
We had met with the company to try and renegotiate a more fair contract. And the CEO at the time, he was there running the meeting and he really downplayed my contribution to the brand. And as we were sitting there trying to negotiate, he looked over at me and said, that's a lot of money for a little girl. I was actually in disbelief. For me, that was something that there was really no coming back from. And after that, we all looked at each other and we all walked out.
Welcome to The Unshakeables from Chase for Business and Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia. I'm Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business.
And I'm Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and consultant for business owners.
Well, it's hard to believe we're here, but this is the final episode of season one of The Unshakeables. For the past few months, we've been sharing the daring moments of small business owners facing their crisis points and telling the stories of how they got through it. We're going to close out this season with the story of an influencer turned entrepreneur who was willing to take the biggest risk of them all on herself. Hey, Tanya.
Hey, Ben. I'm so sad the season is over, but I am pretty excited to hear this next story. I love Desi's designs. They're so stylish and they're unique and I love them.
Well, this one's a doozy.
Well, I'm here for the doozy. Let's get to it.
On today's episode, Desi Eyewear from Los Angeles, California. You just heard from Desi Perkins, who today is a designer, makeup artist, and beauty influencer. But years before that, she was a cocktail server, and her husband, Stephen Perkins, was a freelance photographer.
I was a cocktail server. I had a toxic work environment, really hated my job. And Stephen came in to visit me one day and I just started crying because I was so stressed and my manager, you know, was horrible.
So I just looked at her and I was like, look, you don't have to work here. We're going to figure this out. Like literally you should quit tonight and we are going to go from there.
While Desi was figuring out her next step, Stephen was working as a club photographer. And in October of 2012, Stephen asked Desi to help him with a costume for a Halloween party he had to shoot. Desi had always loved makeup, so she helped Stephen with his before he went to work for the night.
Because I was a painter and artist, I watched this YouTube video and it was telling me how to do special effects makeup. And I said, listen, I've never done it before, but let's try it. And I did this really cool special effects skull. It was really awesome.
At the party, everyone asked who had done his makeup, and he said that Desi had.
He went out that night, and all of these people asked if he had got his makeup professionally done. I was with him, and he said, no, my girlfriend did it. And they said, do you do this for a living? And I said, yes. I had no kit, no experience. I just said, yes, I do. And then I started taking appointments for like $50 a face out of our apartment. And I faked it till I made it, let me tell you.
Soon, Desi was getting offered gigs doing makeup for TV. Even though she had no experience, she still said yes. To help drum up even more business, Stephen recommended she join a new social media site. You may have heard of it.
Instagram was brand new at the time and I convinced her to download Instagram. She used it as kind of like a portfolio, as a creative escape, and it took off. You know, someone reposted one of her photos and it got 10,000 followers overnight.
I remember sitting in our apartment and my phone was on the couch and it just started going like notifications were going off like crazy.
Someone commented on one of her Instagram photos that she should launch a YouTube channel.
We had no idea what we were doing with YouTube either, but Steven had his camera that he did club photography with. So we took that and we got a couple lights and we set it up and I just went and started filming.
Steven was her de facto manager. He helped film all of her content. And after a year, he left his job to focus on Desi and her brand full time.
And it was just makeup tutorials and it kind of just took off. She had a really good personality. People loved her story and just like hanging out, getting ready with her.
Next thing you know, I'm doing this for a few months and I get an email from a company and they say, we would love to send you some free product. And I was shocked. It wasn't a thing yet to get paid to post videos or pictures or promote product. All of that we were learning and the brands were learning at the same time. So it was really tricky.
It was the Wild West of influencing because like no one knew what was going on or how it could be. Like when Desi got that first offer, it clicked in my business mind, like, wait a minute, there's an opportunity here. If they want to send you something, they might have money behind it. And that's where like we kind of went back in and we started negotiating these deals.
After a few years, Desi's YouTube channel had 1 million followers. A big following brought bigger opportunities. In 2016, a sunglasses company reached out in hopes of collaborating with Desi. She and Steven took the meeting.
This sunglass company approached me and they said, hey, we've done collabs with a few other celebrities and we would love to do something with you. So they offered me this deal. It was a one-page typed out paper napkin contract deal. And they said, it'll just be a quick little 3-month collaboration. You'll have about 4 sunglasses. It'll be great. I showed up to the first meeting with them and they laid out a bunch of sunglasses on the table. They said, is there anything that you like here that you can pick? We can put your name on it, market it, whatever. I said, I would really love to design my own sunglasses if that's a possibility.
The company agreed and Steven and Desi dove in.
Desi scoured her archives of sunglasses that she's had. We've gone online and we started pulling just different inspirations into Photoshop. And Desi and I were literally sitting together at night, dissecting sunglasses, putting them together in Photoshop and making them into the exact frame that she wanted to develop.
Finally, the collab launched with 4 different styles. Desi promoted the glasses on her social media.
I remember the day before launch, I was super anxious and I said, are we sure everything's okay? And they said, we've done this before. Everything's going to be perfectly fine. The day of launch happens and the traffic for launch was so massive that their whole website shut down.
Wow.
Everybody was panicking. We were freaking out. All the sunglasses sold out and I was shocked. I had no idea that I even had that selling power. It was an incredible feeling.
The line was originally supposed to be a limited release, but it was a home run.
Everyone loved the glasses, and then it instantly became a call from them like, hey, we need to keep going.
Desi and Steven signed on for another year. While they were hard at work designing their next round of styles, the sunglass company grew and had even been acquired by a private equity firm.
We'd go in their meetings with them and they'd show us graphs of Desi trending and totally attribute a lot of the success of the company back to Desi. The sunglass that she created became the number 2 selling SKU in Nordstrom. So after a while, we decided, hey, we want to get a little bit more stake in this game.
At this point, the brand got so big. And once they got acquired, we went into a meeting to really renegotiate and see what we could do to make it more fair.
They came to the next meeting prepared for the discussion of a new contract, and they made their ask.
The CEO at the time, he was there running the meeting and he really downplayed my contribution to the brand and really through the whole meeting kind of devaluing me as a business partner. And as we were sitting there trying to negotiate, he looked over at me and said, that's a lot of money for a little girl.
Wow.
The room fell silent on both sides.
I was actually in disbelief. The only thing I remember doing is turning around like, I know you're not talking to me. I couldn't believe it.
Hold on, Ben. What? That's a lot of money for a little girl? The audacity of that guy to say that.
What an ass.
Yeah, really.
Well, as awful as that was, I think you're going to love what happened next in the meeting, Tanya.
In the moment where I was actually shocked, couldn't get a word out, one of my agents stood up and looked at him and said, well, this little girl has made your company a lot of money.
Oh, so he came back with the little girl line. I mean, that's pretty fantastic.
He did. He said, this little girl has made you X amount of dollars. It is the reason why you were acquired.
You were this. He dropped every fact that we had done for that company and every number that we had sold for them.
Oh, that's really powerful.
After that, we all looked at each other and knew it was time to go, and we all walked out. That meeting was a turning point for me. And I think for a lot of women in business, moments like this happen all the time. I knew that it was time for us to start our new chapter. And it was a scary decision because this is, at this time, my only collaboration that I've ever done, my only form of steady income. It was a huge passion project that I was in love with doing. I was so sad to walk away from, but I just knew that it was the right thing for me.
After that disastrous meeting, Desi and Steven decided they'd start their own eyewear company. This was a huge moment, taking a social media brand to a physical product. But they'd get to own 100% of the company and all the profit. It also meant they were now on the hook for everything. Funding, sourcing, product, you name it. It all fell on Desi and Steven.
Did we know the first step to do that? Absolutely not. No. We had learned all the creative side of the sunglass business, but not so much the other side. So it was definitely going to be a journey into the unknown for us.
While they knew how to design and market eyewear, they still had no idea how to manufacture it. So they brought on two consultants.
Through that year, I had them teach me the ropes, teach me manufacturing, teach me logistics, teach me freight forwarding, teach me all the behind the scenes stuff.
By 2019, they were ready to design their first line of original eyewear. That brand would be called Desi Eyewear, not D-E-S-I the way Desi spells it, but Desi with a Z.
I named the brand after myself. I felt like there was a lot of power in that, and I wanted it to be all of me. I think people told me, yeah, maybe you shouldn't name it your name. And so I said, all right, fine, I'll change it to a D-E-Z instead of D-E-S, okay? They were like, you're not being slick. It sounds the same. And I'm like, it felt right. So that's what I named it.
Desi's digital brand had also grown significantly in that time. She now had 4 million followers watching her every move. And if they wanted to launch, they had to go all in and launch big.
We didn't have room for air, like most businesses do. If we were to launch something and it was a complete flop, like that's all going to fall back on us. And knowing the numbers that we did with the sunglass company, we knew what the volume would be. So it made our margin for air extremely small because we had to launch at scale. Was obviously a huge risk for us because you could start a business, right, for close to nothing and grow it over time, but we didn't have that luxury.
But they did have the luxury of doing everything exactly the way they wanted to. They had to be certain their line of sunglasses was perfect from the beginning.
The whole point of Desi Eyewear is like luxury product at an affordable price. Desi will never put anything out that she truly would not use or wear herself. So now a huge challenge is how are we producing the quality that we want for the price point that we're going to sell it at? As a public figure and having a significant following like that, everything is under the microscope. And that's why, you know, when it came to product quality, everything was meticulously designed.
After months of development, they were ready to roll out the sunglasses. They targeted their launch date for, drumroll please, March of 2020.
This was a really stressful time for us because we were trying to sell sunglasses when nobody was allowed to go outside, which I feel like was really stressful for me. I was sitting there, we had put everything into this brand and we felt like not only was it a bad time, I thought to myself, it's not an appropriate time.
They delayed the launch 3 months, but every day they waited was just another day the product was sitting, unused, wasting money in a warehouse.
So now this is the situation we're in and we're just sitting on our hands and just like, what are we going to do? Like, shit, what did we just get into? How are we going to pivot from this? And then just decided like, okay, we need to at least put something out there. We can't sit on this. We need to launch it. Let's just go. Let's see what happens.
They finally chose a launch date. Now all that was left to do was announce. They chose one day in July 2020 for the announcement. And Desi started this business the same way she launched her brand. With a social media post.
Desi had mentioned like, okay, I'm coming out with a product. This is the Instagram. Go follow it. Completely blank Instagram, nothing on it. Within the first, I think it was 12 hours, it gained 300,000 followers. We were just like, oh my God.
The huge response to Desi's video wasn't just from her fans.
We were getting calls and emails from every brand that had worked as a wholesaler with the other sunglass company because they knew the power and the movement that Desi could do with her eyewear. But we turned down every single one of those because we wanted to launch as a D2C brand. So we wanted to get it to our customers and knew that we wanted to hold on to that control.
And with that, it was finally time. They launched Desi Eyewear in July of 2020.
It was amazing. It was a huge success. I think we were crying. We were like in disbelief. And then we went straight into panic mode after like the first moment of celebration. It was like, oh my gosh, we're customer service now too. We are handling all of the after now also. It's us.
We ended up selling through, you know, 90% of our inventory within the first, I think, 4 hours.
Turns out, there was no need to worry if anyone would buy the sunglasses. Now the problem was getting their sunglasses to the customers. The shipping company had picked up all the sunglasses, but they never got mailed out. And customers took to social media to complain.
Packages were getting lost for weeks, and there was nothing that we could do as a company. And now we're sold out of product and customers are writing in, my package never got here.
And then we're just writing them like normal customer service as just saying, hey, you know, package is delivered, personally out of the warehouse, it's on its way to you. Come to find out that FedEx parked our truck behind another truck and they never got offloaded at the FedEx warehouse. And it took, I would say, probably 7 days for them to find that truck. And we were responding to now thousands of customers that have this trust in Desi and the brand that we're going to deliver, and our packages are nowhere to be found.
Steven estimates that 20% of that first release got lost in shipping. For reference, usually only 1% or 2% of shipments get lost. So this was a major issue for Desi Eyewear.
The problem with a brand as an influencer is that you look at a bigger brand, there's no one really to talk to yell at, except for customer service. With us, at being a personality, there's multiple avenues. There's the YouTube comment section, there's Instagram, there's Desi's personal pages, there's the brand pages. So what happens with customer service is it floods to every single channel and it becomes very transparent to what's going on. And you have to handle that in a very careful way.
I think for me, it's just that I have had such a direct closeness to everyone that subscribes to me. And so they feel the closeness to be able to then tell me when there's a problem. And one of the things that hurts is that they're disappointed in their experience. And it weighed very heavy on me. So all I could do in that moment is be super upfront and say exactly what had happened and apologize and rectify the situation.
We spent literally 2 weeks of just responding to people like, hey, you know, your package is on the way. It's going to get to you. Check tracking. That didn't work. They respond back in and it's like, where's my shit?
After days of that, Steven decided to take a more personal approach.
I would go in and I'd be like, hey, this is Steven. I swear to you, I personally pack your package. It's on the way. And it's funny enough, like when we would give that personal touch, it would diffuse the situation.
To where now we were able to maintain that trust and keep those customers. And they continually come back and they are purchasing every single time something new comes out.
Well, I mean, you must have been writing emails until 4 o'clock in the morning, but yes.
I was just going to say that. Yeah,
it was exhausting. Definitely learned some lessons from that. Built a team around customer service, was able to train them and let them know the tone of the company, the voice of the brand.
So they'd figured out the shipping catastrophe. And finally, the brand started to really cruise. They released more styles. The company was, by all accounts, a success. They had made their initial investment back and then some. Desi Eyewear is obviously a huge success. It sounds like every time you come out with a new set of sunglasses, people snap them up. And then you decided to launch another company, right?
Yeah.
Because you're gluttons for punishment?
Because I'm crazy.
This was also after having one baby. So we have a one-year-old. We launched this company, Desi Eyewear, and then we decide that we're going to do skincare as well.
They reinvested the profits from Desi Eyewear into the skincare line. And just a few months after Desi Eyewear launched, Desi Skin was born. 3 years later, both brands are still going strong. And Desi and Steven have worked hard to find the right balance of working together as a couple.
When we first started working together, there was arguments. There was fights. It was like, things weren't, you know, working out. And I think the problem was we needed to find our proper positions, our roles, right? Like, so in the beginning, Steven was very much a content creator husband, and he hated that, I think, like deep down. You know, I'd be like, can you take my picture? He hated it. We would argue. It was not it. But once we started the businesses, I think that's where he really shined, because of a lot of his background was in these kinds of tasks and websites and business management, and he started thriving. And then I feel like for me, that is not my place of expertise. Mine is the creative, the designing, the marketing, all of these things. And so we were both able to find our passions within building these companies. And I think that's what all of a sudden made us okay working together.
You found your swim lanes.
Yes. The key was finding your swim lanes. And now it's easy. It just like makes sense. I trust him. There's not going to be somebody else who cares about it more than him, you know, and vice versa.
There used to be a rule, no business before coffee and after the kids are asleep.
No, there is that rule for me. After dinner, no, we do not talk about work. I said, there has to be a line here, because for so many years, we were all work. And I said, after 6 p.m. now, let's not talk about work. Let's just be. And that works out really well.
So tell me, where is the Perkins Empire going next?
I'm tired. You know, I got two kids, two companies. I think I'm good. Like my mom told me in the past, she said, you know, you have too many passions. And I think now what I see is me seeing these passions through, but again, in a more collaborative sense. So things that I've really been wanting to do, but in collaborations with companies that already do them. And I think that's something that I'm excited to see.
Today, Desi Eyewear sells over 20 different styles of sunglasses and can be found on Nordstrom's website and in 23 store locations. And yes, Steven still sometimes answers customer service emails.
I think a lot of my life experiences have made me feel a little bit out of control, and people sort of dictating what my life is going to be like, whether that's in personal things or work situations. And so for me, simultaneously starting this company and also starting a family that we so badly wanted, and at the same time, really made us stronger as a couple, as business partners, as parents. And I really love knowing that my son can like see what we're doing day to day and aspire to also want to go down his own path. And my daughter, now that I've had my daughter, it especially means more to me to see how, you know, your mom is kick-ass and you can be too. And it just makes me so excited to see her grow up and have the same courage.
When you run a business, it helps to have a full-service banking solution that has products, tools, and resources designed with your growth in mind. That's what you'll get when you switch to Chase for Business. As a new customer, you'll even get rewarded with a special bonus. Choose Chase, and you'll receive the personal attention you deserve, along with a large-scale presence, including 4,700 local branches and 15,000 ATMs. Plus, you can enjoy innovations like the Chase mobile app, which lets you do your banking on your phone. There are so many easy ways to get the guidance and tools you need to grow with Chase. You can meet with a banker in person, use the online support center, or find helpful information in the resource center. And Chase Business Complete Banking offers built-in card acceptance, a wide range of options for accepting payments and making deposits. So switch today at chase.com/choosechase and get rewarded with a special bonus. This account has a monthly service fee that can be reduced from $15 to $0. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Deposit and credit card products provided by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024 JPMorgan Chase & Company.
Tanya, what did you think?
I loved that interview.
They're pretty cute. I mean, come on.
Yes, they're very cute. And Ben, there are so many lessons that came out of that story. So it was exciting. I mean, I really liked it.
It's interesting because it's a different set of lessons than we have learned in other interviews, because there are very few where they say sort of like, we started this thing and it just blew up and took off and it was out the gate. Usually that part is sort of the hard part, is like making your first sale or getting your first contract. Whereas for them, because she was already a social media presence, like that was not even an issue. She was just like, they knew they could sell and they were selling. So they had a whole different set of challenges.
They did. There's so many different ways to get this entrepreneurial thing done. And I like that this was another example of how you could do it differently. And instead of, you know, like Steven said, kind of grow in a way that a more typical small business would grow, they had to jump in at scale and they knew it from the beginning.
I was taken by the conversation about what happened when they launched their brand and the fact that the packages didn't get delivered, because we talked about they had to do it at scale and they had to do it at scale quickly. But clearly, like, you know, they couldn't deliver the packages themselves. They had to rely on logistics companies and shipping companies. And I think there's a real lesson in there. Just because you outsource something doesn't mean you can assume it's taken care of. You can have the best contract in the world.
Tell me about it.
But if you don't have a way to know that it's done, then it might not be done.
Yeah, that is so true. And I hear this a lot. You probably hear it from entrepreneurs as well. You know, folks want to get into business and they want to kind of set it and forget it. They want it to be passive income, that kind of thing. And what we learned from this story is that they really had to get their hands dirty too. They had to jump in when things weren't going the way that they were supposed to go, because you can't just say yes, and I paid so-and-so to get this thing done, and then just assume that it's going to get handled. It's on you to make sure that it actually gets done.
Yeah, it's never really passive, is it?
It's not.
Look, and I give Steven and Desi a ton of credit because they owned it in different ways, right? So Desi went on her social media platforms and owned it, and Steven got to work customer by customer and owned it in a personal way. The one other thing they did when they had that customer service challenge, Tanya, is they both were willing to say, I'm sorry, I let you down, we'll do better next time. And my experience with brands that when they make a mistake, they own it is much better than when they try to deflect and dissemble. You know, they told the truth, they were honest, and they did what they could to make it right. And I think people appreciated that direct honesty.
I think people definitely appreciate that honesty, but they use the word transparency. And that goes along with kind of the relationship that Desi had been building with her community from the beginning. And when things didn't go as expected, they kind of fell on their swords and said, like, listen, we're sorry, this is what happened, and we're going to do our best to fix it. And I admire companies who take that approach. And I try to do the same in my business as well. Like, mistakes happen. Things don't go as planned. And it's just how you address the issue that matters the most.
Yeah, there's just no such thing as not my problem. If you make a mistake, it's your problem. If your partner makes a mistake, it's your problem. If someone downstream makes a mistake, it's your problem.
Yes. The buck stops with you.
Can we talk a little bit about this? We've had a few husband and wife teams come on this show. So it's a common theme that we see successful husband-wife teams. Do you work with a lot of them? What do you find makes them successful or less so in your experience?
That's a good question. I would say, like what we saw with the Desi and Steven story, is the importance of playing your position. I find that the couples who do the best in business are very clear on who is doing what in the business and what, you know, what their responsibilities are, what the roles are, and working together just like one would if they weren't married. And when it comes to my married clients and even just folks in a relationship, it's understanding what they're supposed to be bringing to the table in the business and being consistent in that regard.
So Tanya, what percent of your clients would you say have more than one business? Is it a lot or is it very few?
I would say that a lot of them have had more than one business.
That's interesting.
That's what I would say.
Say more. Say more.
They have had more than one business, but typically there's one business that is doing particularly well. But what I don't see much of is what we saw here, where there are multiple ones that are doing extraordinarily well all at the same time. So Ben, what do you think about, you know, running two major companies at the same time?
Well, look, so first of all, as I reflect on it, I think it's two companies, but they're sibling companies. They're not even cousins, they're siblings, because they're both selling physical products that are based on her social media personality as the core sales generator. So these are very closely related businesses, which does make it easier. That said, we didn't get into the detail, but what I would be interested to know over time is how they plan to staff up to support that. Because really, what I have found is that, and this is true in the corporate world and it's true in the small business world, is when you don't wake up every day worried about something all day long, it's easy for bad stuff to happen. And so I apply that at work. You know, if there's something that is really important to my business, I make sure there is someone who is, that's their job. Not part of their job, not some of their job, but all of their job. And so I'm sure it's working quite well, but I would imagine as they continue to scale those brands, that they will find that they need some infrastructure of their own.
That's such a good point. If it is that important, it needs to be someone's sole job.
Yeah, so look, I have to say, like, We've talked to a lot of businesses. What I love about their story is that they are completely self-made, and they are self-made on their own belief in themselves and their capabilities, whether that was Desi's ability to design or her ability to generate following and sales or his ability to rely on the things that he knew and to support the business. They totally bet on themselves. They took their hits in stride and they stuck with it. And they've built something I think is going to last and create sort of lasting value for them and their family.
Yeah, it's awesome that they're in Nordstrom and just continuing to grow. And I look forward to seeing what else they do.
Tanya, you and I have pulled a lot of lessons from there, but let's go listen to the advice that they had for our listeners.
I think I would tell somebody who wants to start a business to sit down and try to have conversations with people who have started businesses and really get all the information about what the hard points are. What I've heard from a lot of my friends who have started businesses is that they were so blindsided by all the difficulties and all the things that go into starting a business. So I think having as many conversations with business owners as you can and really getting all the information so that you can be prepared going into it.
When we were building these brands, nothing ever goes as planned. It's kind of like raising kids and every stage is different. You have to adapt to every stage of the business. Every time you launch a new product, something else is going to happen, but it's really just about adapting to what's happening to be able to roll with those punches and act quick on your feet. You're not going to get all the advice from a book. It's really about adapting and like experiencing the business and then figuring it out as you go.
Before we wrap up, I want to take just a moment to reflect on this season's 8 episodes. We call this show The Unshakables because it's no easy feat to start a small business. The stories we've told show the tenacity and guts it takes to build a business out of what was once just an idea. There's something to take from each and every person's journey, whether it's Alex Vega's newfound appreciation for contracts, Desi and Stephen Perkins' dedication to customer service, or Doug and Jason Barrow's business-saving risk management strategies. By any measure, these are great lessons to learn and fantastic triumphs to celebrate. Thanks so much for listening to the first season of The Unshakables. If you haven't already, please rate and review the show. It'll help us reach more listeners. I'm Ben Walter, and this is The Unshakables from Chase for Business and Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia.
The Unshakables is a production of Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia and Wheelhouse.